Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Perfecto, aparece Marina Caliente y parte izquierda del ataque español. Le desdobla Olga. Vamos a ver Olga dentro del área. ¡Oy! Puede buscar el disparo.
¡Gol! ¡Gol! ¡Gol!
Olga Carmona para España.
Angustia absoluta, es la última.
14 venga, minutos.
Vamos, vamos.
Es la venga. Última.
Y no pita, lo va a dejar.
14 minutos. Ahí está. Balón al segundo palo. Catacol. 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 Se acabó. Se acabó. Se acabó. Se acabó. Se acabó.
Welcome along to the La Liga Lowdown podcast. My name is Ruri Barlow. I'm joined by Paco Pollitt, a delighted Paco Pollitt, I assume, because we've just heard from Garena Cope and Garena Ser after Spain crowned themselves world champions again 13 years after they did for the first time in the men's. The women came out on top. They beat England 1-0. Paco, just how are you doing?
Well, very happy, obviously, because it's been a long time without celebrating a world championship. As you said, it's been 13 years since that Iniesta goal in the final against the Netherlands. And remember, it's been 11 years since the last official title for Spain, leaving aside, obviously, the League of Nations and so on. But remember that 2012 European Cup, which was also conquered by the Spaniards. But in this case, obviously, it's the first time, the first star for the women national team. And I think that the way it has been conquered has been, you know, in spectacular fashion. I think that overall, regarding the way Spain deserved the win, I think that nobody can question that, because overall, with that, you know, exception of the game against Japan, where Spain weren't just up to par and they lost 3-0 against the Japanese, I think that in the rest of the games and also in the knockout rounds, Spain have been superior to the opposition, and they were better in the final than England. Unfortunately for our English listeners, which are plenty.
Yes, no, this might not be the most pleasant first part of the show for them, but you have to give credit to the Spanish side, because it has come through a lot of adversity. I mean, 2019, they were striking just for kind of professionalism and for being paid, basically, and being able to kind of train as they should have been able to. Obviously, we had the 15, which is something that's been covered pretty extensively, on the website previously, on Substack. And this is a side that's been kind of not cobbled together, but it's been through a lot, hasn't it, Paco? What's kind of your take on that? Because obviously there is plenty to get into, and then we will move on to kind of the more celebratory side of this, which is very much the larger part that we want to focus on.
Well, obviously, I think that we should say first up that, you know, we almost expected this to happen. The celebrations were, you know, almost very short-lived, because immediately after the win, controversy once again spurned regarding Luis Rubiales, the president of the Spanish Federation, also obviously involving Jorge Vilda, which is the manager, who has, you know, strengthened his position at the helm after this win, even though his role in the national team has you know, been subject of plenty of hot takes and controversy, as you said earlier, with that open open enmity and yeah, I would say that trouble has been broiling for quite a while with that open conflict between Bilda and the 13 players, 13, 14, 15, you know, regarding some of the accounts. Some of them included Alexia, others didn't. And ultimately, the bottom line is that at one point, a few months ago, more than a dozen international players for Spain, you know, demanded change to happen in a number of ways. You know, the main issue here is that the real motivations behind all this conflict haven't really been made clear by the people involved in them. You know, the players themselves haven't really been clear about what they were demanding from the Spanish Federation that ultimately has strengthened Bilda's position, because he has been much more open about this, and he has been, you know, speaking about this open conflict in the press conferences. Overall, the bottom line is that there wasn't really a good relationship between the players and the manager, and that has been happening for quite a while. And all these, you know, incidents taking place at the end of 2022 helped Bilda to smooth in a transition of new blood, new players from other teams, not Barca related, because one of the common denominators is that most of the rebellious players were playing for Barca Femenino. And this allowed to, you know, level and balance the groups of power inside that locker room. And it's just, you know, it's like water and oil. Things that are not going to blend, they are not going to gel, they are not going to mix. Never. And I think that this issue is not going to be solved even after winning the World Cup. So overall, I think that the end of the road for this tournament has arrived, and Spain are champions, obviously, and happiness should ensue for all Spanish football and all Spanish sport. But this problem is not going to go away, and there is going to be the day after tomorrow. You know, tomorrow we're going to celebrate, but the day after tomorrow, this problem will eventually come back, and maybe it will come back in full force once again.
Yeah, we'll get that out of the way. I mean, Bilda was booed before the match started. Yep. After the match, the Twitter on the Spanish Twitter account for the Selección Femenina, they said Bilda in.
Yeah.
Which was a very, kind of controversial tweet to put
it
out
was
right
like
after
a,
that.
An official reply to all of the Bilda outs that they have been receiving for almost, I would say, 9-10 months since the 15 players or the 13 players made public their own manifest on their own Twitter feeds.
Yeah, it should be said there's another story which kind of has been breaking. It's Luis Rubiales, the president of the RFEF, who kissed Jenny Hermoso on the lips during the celebrations, did not go down well. It should be said Jenny Hermoso has come out and said since that people shouldn't pay too much attention to it.
Yeah, she tried to cool down all of the, you know, all of the hot takes. But yeah, ultimately, you can be very happy about something, you can be ecstatic about something, but you always need to remind yourself of who you are. And if you are the president of a federation, you just cannot let yourself go, you know. And I can understand it's a moment of ecstasy and a moment of happiness, of pure sheer joy, but you need to keep you need to keep control of yourself. And I think that I don't see something devious behind all of this, but obviously Rubiales didn't do well, and he should at least come out and apologize for what he did. He can argue that he was in a moment of pure joy, but he's the president, and ultimately he needs to show some sort of restraint, which he didn't in that short kiss in the lips of Jennifer Hermoso.
Yeah, ultimately a bad look. And it should be said as well that Aitana Bonmatí and Irene Pereira said that now the investment needs to come, the changes need to come, everything that they've been fighting for needs to happen. On to the celebrations, Paco. Where did you watch this? What was happening? I was myself in Leganés because there's no big screens in Madrid because it was too hot, frankly. We saw Super Pepino, the Leganés mascot there. I got myself a photo with him. It was terrific fun down there. Really good atmosphere. The fire brigade even came down and cooled everyone off with the hose after and at halftime and after the game. So yeah, really good atmosphere there, really good fun celebrations. How was things in Valencia, Paco?
Well, we did have, as in many other cities in around the country, plenty of massive, huge TV screens in a number of venues. For example, over here in Valencia, we had La Fonteta, which is the home of Valencia Basket, which can hold up to 8,000 people in attendance, and it was almost full house. Capacity to, you know, to watch the game and people celebrating, obviously, that goal scored by Olga Carmona in the first half, and later all of them suffering and, you know, biting their own nails in the last few minutes of the game. I myself watched it at home with my baby girl, and you know, she's only 4 months, but I'm pretty much stoked about the fact that she's going to grow in a country which is, you know, world champions in the women football discipline, and whereas 30, 40 years ago, other girls had it much more difficult and much tougher, the chance to play at elite top level, not only in Spain, but, you know, around the world, in Europe, in the US. Things have changed so much in the last, I would say, 10, 15 years. Change was slowly coming around in the last 30, 40 years. My father, myself, was one back in the day, at the end of the 80s, one of the first regional managers or of the Valencian regional team. And I have lived that since I was little, and now I see now things, you know, happening over TV with 80,000, 90,000 people at Camp Nou in Champions League games, Alexia Putellas being two-time Ballon d'Or, all of the players, you know, being the protagonist in a number of TV spots, being recognized, you know, TV stars, football stars, signing autographs, taking selfies with people, all of the games being, you know, on TV, which was massive only 20 years ago, and it's finally happening. And I was very happy for the little one, because I think she's going to have the chance to grow in such an atmosphere in the following years, and that is absolutely beautiful for not only for her, but obviously for all of the young girls around in this country.
Yeah, it's heartwarming to hear that, and also just to think that hopefully this will have that kind of impact. And you mentioned kind of Alexia and the Balones de Oro, you mentioned kind of Barcelona Femenino kind of winning the Champions League. This is kind of that ultimate milestone, and if anything is going to drag Spain into the women's game more, then hopefully it's this. I mean, just that kind of, again, anecdotal experience, I found kind of the build-up to this a little bit underwhelming in terms of, I mean, the heat, the games are on at kind of weird times for people to be watching football. Yeah. Also, again, anecdotally, in Madrid right now, everybody has left the city to go to the coast because it's, I mean, it's holiday time in Spain. So I think that's been underwhelming. But what I saw today was kind of a genuinely good atmosphere. People were really engaged. There was very little kind of idiocy. I mean, the kind of comments that denigrate women's football, that seem to pursue it so doggedly, there was none of that. So yeah, hopefully we do kind of see that kind of
I think that it has helped quite a lot, the fact that the quality overall of the tournament has been great. You know, I've been watching women football for most of my life, you know, and I think that the level that we've seen in this tournament overall, with the performance by Australia, for example, the Matildas have been massive throughout the tournament, even though they weren't able to make it to the final and they finished fourth. I think that the way they have played has been great, and they have helped quite a lot to build up the atmosphere, both in the country and also in New Zealand, obviously. But it's also very exciting when you have that home side doing well and making it to the top four, because it's also helps the momentum of the tournament to just build up and build up and build up to something truly exciting. And as I said, earlier, I think that Spain, with that, you know, with that slip against, which is a slip up against Japan, because they just weren't their own selves. I think that they had a bad day overall, and you know, a number of players have stepped up to the plate, and obviously the name has to come, you know, in this conversation, Salma Parayuelo. We're talking about this kid who will be 20 in a couple of days, at the beginning of September, I believe. She's going to be 20 next month, and she has already won all three World Cups, under 17, under 20, and obviously with the grown-ups now. She has also won a European Championship and under 17. She has won the Champions League with Barca. She has won La Liga, Liga F with Barca. She could perfectly retire being 19, and she would have, you know, the best resume of 19, better than 99% of the players in world football, you know. And Salma was a clutch player in the quarterfinals, and also a clutch player in the semifinal. We had Aitana Bonmatí bossing the game. I think that she missed like two passes in the whole game. It was something outlandish. The game that Aitana Bonmatí, which is my top contender for the Ballon d'Or this season, overall her tournament has been perfect, outstanding through and through. Her game in the final was one for the ages, because she was, as I said, only two mistakes in the whole game, and she was the player which pulled in most of the game and the transitions by the Spanish team.
Yeah, absolutely. And even Salma, she used to be a sprinter before she kind of went full time with football, and has won kind of youth tournaments.
I remember, I actually interviewed her, because remember she's from Zaragoza, and back in the day she began playing when she was 15, which is, you know, it's only 5 years ago. But when she was 15, she was finally able to play with the first team of Zaragoza Club de Fútbol Femenino. And later she moved on to Villarreal Femenino. And when she did that, the way the youth system is organized over here in Spain, she stops playing for the Aragon regional team, and she plays for the Valencian one. And once she did that, because she played for Villarreal, once she did that, she was with the Selección Valenciana under 17, and I had the chance of interviewing her back in the day. I believe it was in 2018. And she was already, you know, she had every single choice open for her. She could be an elite athlete, and because she's one of the fastest individuals in, I would say, in the whole country, and she was getting incredible times. Like, we're talking about European elite times in her disciplines, or she could choose football. But she knew that there was a time eventually where she would have to pick, and that time came last season.
Yeah, prodigiously talented athlete and footballer, and Aitana, yeah, I mean, I'm not breaking any news, but she's definitely my favourite women's footballer. She is just liquid to watch. It's very, I mean, she cites Xavi and Iniesta as her kind of idols.
Yeah.
And Iniesta was one of those players that kind of draws you in and makes you really just tune in for them precisely. And you get the same thing with Aitana. It's almost surreal to see kind of a player that is so kind of similar.
Effortless. You can say that she's effortless. The word, the perfect word is that she does everything in a way, in such a way, which seems very easy, but you only have to, you know, check out the rest of her teammates or other players, or she just does it in an effortless way. And as you said, I think that the comparison with Xavi and Iniesta is absolutely spot on.
Yeah, and we haven't actually spoken about the game that much, but the game itself, I mean, Spain, I thought they were dominant, but what really impressed me was the fact that even with those kind of last kind of 10, 20 minutes, they kept attacking, they kept going forward, and if anybody was going to score, it was definitely going to be Spain. I think England kind of ran out of gas a little bit. How did you kind of live it, obviously, with the adrenaline, the added adrenaline of being Spanish?
Yeah, I would say that overall, England were outplayed, I would say, from the first till the 100th minute, and that Lauren Hemp was mainly the only one which could or try to generate some sort of danger in the right wing a number of times because of the sheer quality that she has. But most of the time you could see that she was very alone. Spain had a massive chance at the beginning. You might remember Alba Redondo with a strike in the far post, you know, with nobody under the sticks mostly. But you know, the finish wasn't really clinical, and ultimately Mary Earps was able to stop it. England's keeper was great throughout the game. Yeah, I think because she had that kind of clutch attitude when stopping the penalty taken by Jenny Hermoso, and obviously her reaction was priceless. And I think that many GIFs and short videos have been making the rounds throughout in social media. But yeah, she said someone to just off after making that save. And I really thought that after stopping that massive chance for Spain, I really thought that England would push forward and try at least to get the level and the draw. But overall, Spain were very solid at the back. Irene Paredes had a great game. And most of it lies within Aitana. You know, as Aitana Bonmatí had most of the ball possession and she was ruling the game and bossing what was happening, especially during when the ball went through the midfield, that deactivated England most of the time. Because also that hit that Greenwood took on the face, which made the game to stop for 5-6 minutes, and those were more or less the best moments of England in the second half after avoiding the second goal by Spain. Overall, they weren't the same team which beat Australia in the semi-final. I think that they might leave the tournament and the final with the bittersweet feeling of that they maybe didn't deliver to the 100% to their fullest in this crucial game, whereas for Spain they did their own thing and deservedly got the win.
Absolutely, and Spain expected back about 9-10 p.m. Spanish time in Madrid tomorrow, and hopefully they'll be followed by more celebrations. As you say, just a final kind of word on the World Cup and the World Cup final for Spain. Olga Carmona, it was kind of released after about kind of 5-6 hours later that her father had passed away during the course of the day. Didn't give a specific time, obviously, but just, I can't even get my head around how you could possibly process those two things happening at the same time. Winning the World Cup, scoring the winner in the World Cup, and losing your father basically at the same time.
Yeah, it's actually tragic in a way, because actually when she scored the goal, Olga dedicated the goal to the mother of a friend who had passed away a few days ago, while she remained, you know, absolutely aloof of what had happened over in Spain. She didn't know that her father had passed away on Saturday, and her own family had kept the news away from her, so that she didn't get distracted by the fact that, you know, her father had died, and she didn't mourn his passing, and that obviously, you know, you lose concentration and suddenly football doesn't really seem that important. And the Spanish Federation respected obviously the decision of the family, and once the game finished and the celebrations were done and they were already on their hotel and on their way to packing their things and leaving the country, the Spanish Federation released the statement late night on Sunday. The outpour of love and support for Olga has been huge, you know, I would say like nationwide. Every single club, every single football supporter in social media have been you know, trying to back the player, who is, at this point, she's the new Iniesta. You know, she's a national hero, and she's been helped in her mourning by, I would say, by the whole country. So, it's those kinds of stories that most of the times just happen on TV movies and in the cinema, that you go on from the best day of your life professionally to one of the saddest ones on a personal level. So, at least from our own, you know, newsroom, and much love and support from us over here at La Liga Lowdown to Olga Carmona, and obviously to her family.
Yes, our, my, and all of our hearts out to Olga Carmona, and And yeah, a small sad note to end on for that, but in general, very much happy and feliz that Spain have managed to win their first ever Women's World Cup. When we come back, football doesn't rest, as Carlo Ancelotti and Xavi and Pep Guardiola have been saying all week that footballers need to actually stop and get come out and say enough is enough, but neither do we as a result. So we'll be back with the second half of the show and a full round of La Liga fixtures, so don't go anywhere and we will return shortly.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Madrid attacked. We just saw Kone, who, as Bruno has already told us, is poised to come on. Toni Kroos puts the ball into the area. There's a chance here for Bellingham, and he scored. Real Madrid take the lead. Bellingham makes it 3 goals in 2 games. What a start to his Real Madrid career.
Now Gundogan with space, looks for Pedri, who finds the opening goal finally. Barca's season is up and running, and it's Pedri who makes the breakthrough. Lovely pass from Gundogan.
Welcome back to part two of the La Liga Lowdown podcast. It is match day two in La Liga. We've had 8 games, we've got 2 more to go. Alaves, Sevilla and Granada Rayo on Monday night, but we've had plenty of action. You've just heard Jude Bellingham again proving that he is that guy, and Pedri proving that he is the man for Barcelona too. And as if one World Cup win wasn't enough to make Paco happy, Valencia also won. We'll start with Real Madrid and Jude Bellingham, just because I feel like he is the dominant story in Spain so far. I mean, he's just really, really good at football, isn't he, Paco?
Yeah, it seems that he knows what he's doing most of the time. But yeah, you know, his impact has been immediate in Real Madrid, and that happening when Real have suffered so much pain in the last few weeks with the injuries of both Militao and Courtois, with all of the doubts surrounding the attacking front after Benzema leaving this summer. You know, most of these doubts are easily cleared away when you have Jude Bellingham scoring left and right with 3 goals in the first 2 games. And yeah, they got another win. They are leaders of the table, even though it wasn't as easy as the final score might seem, because actually Almeria did put up a real fight.
Yeah, and Ancelotti's new system still working, I think. They did look vulnerable at times, as you say.
Yeah.
In defence, I think Almeria could get at them, and that will perhaps be something that comes to the fore later on. But smooth sailing so far. I think Bellingham, the thing that stands out for me is just the way that Real Madrid are playing for him already. I mean, even Vinicius, who should be the star in theory of this Real Madrid side, is happy to cede that kind of star role to Bellingham so far. Again, maybe that comes up later on and it becomes a thing, but Vinicius is playing for him. Toni Kroos looks for him in the box. He is the kind of the main of his play. That's where everyone else moves. So yeah, really exciting stuff from Bellingham. Moving on to Barcelona, slightly less smooth victory against Cádiz. I mean, they faced a similar side in the one that they faced in the week one in terms of Getafe and a low block, a team that's hard working that will do their best to shut things down. And they did for the most part until Pedri scored that late winner. Paco, your thoughts and your take.
Yeah, once again, I think that Barca really suffer against the sides who are very, very disciplined and very solid at the back. And especially when you have a star goalkeeper having the game of the year, like Conan Ledesma, I think that tonight he was absolutely great, almost in 99% of the plays where he was involved, but he couldn't ultimately avoid the defeat of his team. Gundogan was crucial in that assist in the first goal to Pedri, who, you know, is back to, I would say he's back to his former self. He's not there yet after the injury suffered last year, last season, but I think that he'll come around. He'll eventually be the Pedri that we used to know 2 years ago. And one of the key aspects of this player is obviously finishing the plays inside the box and scoring goals. And Pedri, in that sense, he got away from the game very, very happy.
Yeah, and you mentioned Yamal there, who started 16 years of age and 38 days, I believe it was. He's broken Fabrice Alinga's record for Malaga some years ago. And another good performance from Lamine Yamal. He was certainly amongst Barcelona's brightest sparks and came off for the first final kind of 15 minutes or so, I think. But yeah, he was, again, very good. You mentioned Conan Ledesma. Ter Stegen came up with another big one-on-one save against Roger Marti, which is standard for him now, but I feel like I just want to give him his props. And Cádiz had their chances. Chris Ramos had a good chance as well. Ruben Alcaraz at the back post nearly kind of, or could have turned it in on goal. But yeah, Cádiz, I think they'll take a lot of heart from that. Barcelona, I have a theory on why they struggle with these games so much, which I will be putting into written form on Tuesday. So go and subscribe to Substack, and there's our shout out
there
for
you
Substack.
The hook for the content.
There's a little teaser for you. Moving on, Atleti 0-0 draw with Betis. Not a great deal happened in that. Just ask Monchi about that. He'll definitely give you a rundown of Bordisco, but. Running through the rest of the results, I mean, Mallorca went down at home to Villarreal on Friday night. Gerard Moreno with the winner there. Real Sociedad drew 1-1 with Rafa Benitez Celta Vigo. Benitez Celta Vigo getting on the board. Osasuna lost on Saturday night at home to Athletic Club. Oyan Sanset sent off for lashing out against David Garcia. And then another Chimi Avila horror challenge, which really sparked things, but Arrasate calming things down by apologising after the match. Two goals, one from Gurutzeta and the other from Iñaki Williams, both assisted by Nico Williams, who was excellent. And then on Sunday, Girona beat Getafe 3-0 in a very convincing performance, which saw Savio, young Brazilian winger, assist Yangel Herrera, and then a brace from our favourite veteran striker, or maybe just my favourite veteran striker, Cristian Stuani, who brought up 50 goals in La Liga for Girona. I've left one game out, and that is Valencia 1, Las Palmas 0, and that is what you're going to talk about, Paco, because I know that you want to talk about Ruben Baraja's teenage kicks.
Well, at least you know that we obviously watch all of the games, but some of them, you watch them with only one eye. Most of them, you watch them with two eyes, and only a few of them, you do watch them with one eye, the other eye, and your whole heart and all of your 100% attention. And in this case, obviously, Valencia are my kind of thing. I have weird tastes every single weekend. And yeah, once again, the cheeky Valencia or baby Valencia or, you know, that kind of primary, nursery Valencia, whichever fits you best, got the win once again, even though the game wasn't really, you know, my cup of tea. The overall, the game showed two sides which are at this point in August, when the physical progress of the teams isn't really at the point of endurance that they should have. Way because Las Palmas were very smart to try to snatch the ball as soon as they could and dominate ball possession, which they did. Jonathan Vieira was, you know, bossing the game in the midfield because he had that kind of slowly paced Canary style, which is very characteristic and very particular of Las Palmas and even Tenerife back in the day. You know, Canarian teams have that kind of slow pace, moving the ball around, always having that kind of two touches on the ball, moving it in a very sluggish way. But whenever the ball gets to like three quarters, or as the experts say now, zone three, or which is the, you know, the offensive side of the pitch, things speed up very quickly. And Sandro had a couple of runs in the first half which were quite dangerous. But overall, I saw Las Palmas really missing a pure number nine to actually finish the plays. They had, I believe a couple of seasons ago, Sergio Araujo, which was great for Las Palmas in Segunda División. But it will work, especially when they play at home. And sometimes it won't work. And against Valencia, it didn't work. Why? Because of a crucial, you know, stupid handball inside the box, which was a penalty. The referee had to check it in the VAR. Sergi Canós has been signed from Brentford. Peter Lim took 2 months to greenlight a signing which cost Valencia €250,000. You know, 250,000 euros. That has been the price of this signing, which is peanuts. And the player has been waiting 2 months for the signing to finally be closed, which is rubbish. You know, one of the worst public PR campaigns that a team can have. You have a player who wants to come, the salary and the fee is super low, and even the player was ready to give the money and pony up the cash by himself instead of waiting longer, because he was so desperate to play for Valencia, because he's from Valencia, he's from Nules, he is homegrown, he has been a Valencianista his whole life, his dream was to play for Valencia. He was ready to pay for the money himself and give up that money from his salary in order to be signed earlier. But to and fro between both players, Baraja was the one to say to Pepelu that he are a perfect example of Valencia are, in my view, overachieving at this point. This is not going to last. This is going to be something, I would say, more a product of the circumstances. For example, Osasuna losing their game. Osasuna have been focusing in their Conference League showdown, which is going to happen in a few days from now. And remember that they are going to play at Mestalla once again. You know, Valencia have the chance of getting 9 out of 9 the first 3 games. It should not last. I would be very, very surprised if it does, because, you know, winter will come around, injuries will come around, you know, many things are going to happen, especially in this club. But overall, I think that happiness is the overall state of affairs over here in
yes,
the city.
But an impressive start, as you say, for Valencia. And certainly after last season, it did look like it was going to go disastrously, and it may still go wrong, but a really kind of encouraging start, as you say. We will wrap things up there for the podcast. I'm just going to ask for one final thought. Paco, what was your highlight from the World Cup? Your favourite moment, your favourite thing, your favourite play at goal? It can be anything. Just give me one final moment to end on, and we'll call it a day there.
I would say that the semi-final game between Spain and Sweden, because of just how tight it was during the first half, the sub, you know, being brave and subbing out Alexia Putellas and switching her for Salma Parayuelo was a very risky move by Jorge Vilda, but it worked. Salma scoring the first one, the opener. Later, all of the drama, because Sweden were able to draw the game very, very quickly. And finally, the you know, the ecstasy and the explosion of happiness after Olga Carmona scored that amazing strike from outside the box, and the 2-1 score line, which ultimately sends Spain into the into the final. I say that with the goal in the final might be more important overall, and in an historical level might be more remembered down the road. But if I have to pick one moment, was that Ola Carmona goal in the semi-final against Sweden.
Moments for history and moments for Spain to dine out on for some time. Many thanks for your time, Paco. Make sure you tune in to us on Wednesday, which you will get if you're subscribed to us. Drop in, subscribe to the premium subscription as well. We think it's worth it. So we'll see you there on Wednesday. Make sure you tune into our written pieces. As I say, I've got one on Tuesday. Lauren will be bringing us one on Wednesday about the Women's World Cup as well. So without further ado, I will bid you adios, campeones, campeones and campeonas. And felicidades, Paco.
Thank you so much, and felicidades a todas, sobre todo. Cheers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.